A sliver of white light dances across the screen, forming the capital letters of the word signature. The light bounces and swirls over and below the logo. A lake surrounded by snow-dusted mountains. Lightning strikes the ground and from the earth rise four interlinked rectangles which form the logo for Carnaby International. A Trio in Prague production, in collaboration with Steel King Films, in association with Headgear Films and Creo Films. A Brian Ashby film. Interlude in Prague. Dressed in 18th century finery, an audience of men and women sit captivated by a performance on stage in an ornate theatre. Illuminated by candlelight, a man conducts the orchestra. Behind the scenes, stagehands are busy moving around scenery and props. Backstage, drawings and postcards stand on a performer's dressing table. A tricorn hat sits on a tabletop hat stand. Beads hang from a candelabra. A costume has been discarded on the chair. The figure of a man stands up and he spills a glass of red wine which drops onto the white stockings of a woman, lying on the floor, her face unseen. Stagehands and actors watch a performer wearing a high white wig and powder blue and white dress. An imposing man walks backstage. He opens a door and walks through it. Josepha, a beautiful young woman with a painted white face and heavy makeup, stands on stage. The audience of Prague's gentry are captivated by her. Sat in the audience, Susanna, a young, naturally pretty woman, watches Josepha intently. Baron Soloka, a pretentious man with dark hair, watches from a box. He dabs his mouth with a handkerchief as he watches the singer. He stares intensely at the busty soprano. Susanna watches, enthralled by her performance. Josepha sings against a backdrop of an opulent room. Stagehands and fellow performers watch her from the wings. At the end of the performance, a man turns a heavy wooden wheel and a rope coils round it, lifting up the painted curtain to reveal the cast. The performers beam at the audience. Herr Luptak smiles at his daughter Susanna as the cast curtsy and bow. Other cast members applaud from the wings. Beaming, Josepha steps forward and gestures to the conductor who takes a bow alongside the first violinist. The rest of the orchestra rise to their feet for the applause. Poker-faced, Soloka watches on from the box. A woman in the cast catches sight of Baron Soloka. Stony-faced, he stares at her. She tries to hold her composure. The audience give the cast a standing ovation. Looking down his nose at the audience below him, Soloka gets to his feet. Beaming, Josepha steps forward of the cast in acceptance of the applause. December 1786. People mill about in the bustling streets outside the Notstedts Theatre, Prague. Snow falls. A group of people watch a puppet show. Children clap and copy the bobbing marionettes. Baron Soloka walks along a backstage hallway. Two women with high-curled white wigs follow behind him. Cast members stand aside.
The people are here to see Frau Josepha. Your master, I know, will understand.
Is there a problem, Bloch?
No, my lord.
Baron Soloka, wonderful production, don't you think?
As it should be, Herr Novak.
So many admirers are here to congratulate Frau Josepha on her performance.
I see.
But Baron Soloka, what I mean is she's our shining star.
Indeed.
Soloka enters her dressing room and Bloch shuts the door. Josepha tenses upon Soloka's arrival.
Good evening, Frau Josepha.
Bloch stands guard outside the door.
And you pay the piper, Herr Novak. Then, and only then, can you call the tune. Frau Greta?
Your voice was in exquisite form tonight. May I?
He takes her hand and kisses it. His kisses move up her arm. Uncomfortable, she pulls away.
My dear, when I find great beauty, then I want to nurture it so that when it blossoms, I can relish and enjoy what is mine.
Baron, Of course I'm grateful for such kind words and for all of your support, but...
I'm sorry, excuse me, Frau Josefa, my dear Baron Soloka, but there is quite a crowd out here. They're very insistent.
My dear Frau.
Soloka's smile fails to mask the menace in his eyes, leaving Josefa unnerved.
Move out of my way!
An aerial view of the domed roofs and spires of the city. Baron Soloka hosts a lavish dinner. He keeps his eye on Josefa across the table.
Extraordinary talent. Extraordinary. Indeed. Mm. Well, you must have heard.
You know Mozart was a child prodigy.
He wrote his first opera at the age of 9. Mm.
I have never heard music as exciting as Figaro.
Well, he is a genius.
A genius? No, I think not. A competent craftsman, perhaps.
I believe you have met him, Baron.
Indeed I have. His Grace, the Archbishop, had the little fellow perform for our entertainment during my visit to Salzburg.
Wonderful. His music is so popular.
Indeed. I do believe every servant in our household can whistle Voi che sapete. Some can even sing it.
Sing is a little strong, my love.
Frau Luptak looks embarrassed by her husband.
If only we could persuade him to come to Prague to conduct the final performance of Figaro.
It would take him at least 5 days to get here.
Mm. And the cost.
I suspect, like most composers, he can barely cover the cost of the coach fare.
Then, we must pay for him.
Dr. Ross.
And here.
And Brown. Thank you.
Herr Burger.
Herr Schick.
Herr Luchter. Everyone watches with bated breath as he takes a small pile of notes from his wallet and adds it to the other contributions.
He's a very good friend of yours, Frau Josefa. Will you ask him for us? Mm.
We would be delighted.
He can stay with us.
Mozart, in Prague. What an honour.
Ah, bravo. Thank
goodness. Soloka sneers at the collection.
This will hardly get him as far as Brunn. But if it pleases Frau Josefa, I shall bring Mozart to Prague.
He smiles at Josefa and nods at the other guests sat around the long table. Two children accompany Herr Dutschek on the harpsichord.
Why?
Josefa reads a letter.
It seems the marriage of Figaro has lost its carabiner.
What?
A moment.
What happened?
It's from Novak. Greta has gone back to Germany and left the theatre.
Any explanation?
Nothing. It just says she needed to go home.
For what reason?
It doesn't say.
So, who will sing Carabina?
Susanna Luptak. She's very talented, has an amazing voice, and she knows the part well.
It's a lot to ask of her. She's so young.
Don't worry. She can do it.
In a small rehearsal room, Susanna sings for Josefa. A small group, including Baron Soloka, watch her. Nervous, the pretty young woman takes a deep breath. Josefa congratulates her.
Does she please you, my lord?
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
Susanna climbs down from a horse-drawn carriage. Holding up the hem of her golden yellow dress, she runs along a gravel pathway to her stately family home.
The role of Cherubino.
Baron Saluka choosing himself, our very own darling Susanna.
Am I? Because you, my darling, sang like a nightingale.
Oh, Papa, you always say that.
Well, it must be true. He is a man of excellent taste.
And so very handsome, don't you agree?
I think he's rather fierce.
Don't be foolish, darling.
In fact, he'd make an excellent husband for you.
Papa, he is too old.
He has maturity, it's true. What do you think, my dear?
Oh, yes. Dare I dream of such a man, Susanna? Good pedigree and wealthy, too.
But, Mama, we are not poor.
No, no. The Baron has already invited your mother and I to be his house guests. No doubt he'll want to talk to us about his new Cherubino.
Papa!
Hush, daughter. Have some respect. Your father knows what's best for you.
Has he ever been wrong?
No.
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 A horse-drawn carriage is driven through the deserted cobbled streets of the city in the early morning. A faint fluttering of snow swirls through the air. On board, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart stares out of the window.
Is it true Mozart is coming to stay with you?
Yes, it is. He arrives today. I will introduce you.
Wonderful.
Susanna, I'm your friend. I'm here to help. I need to give you some important advice.
Advice?
Yes.
Is it about my singing?
No.
No. It's about Baron Saluka. He'll be generous, and he will help you.
Yes, I feel very blessed. In a way, yes, you are.
But beware. It comes at a price.
I don't understand.
Just don't be alone with him.
Night. Baron Saluka lies in bed reading with the use of a magnifying glass. His bedroom door opens and a young maid walks in. He watches her with an ominous glare. Tense, the young maid carries a carafe of wine and a glass to his bedside table. Feeling his eyes on her, the young maid goes to leave.
Hannah, where do you think you're going?
Hannah looks frightened. The screen fades to black. Pigeons fly over a rooftop. Mozart lies asleep in bed. Awoken by the singing, Mozart sits up. Confused, he jumps out of bed and walks to his window. He flings it open. Mozart smiles as he watches Barbarina, a young maid, singing to herself as she feeds the birds.
Bravo! Bellissimo! Encore!
Sorry, did I wake you? I had no idea you could hear me.
But it was wonderful. Awakened by a musical zephyr tapping on my consciousness.
Herr Mozart!
Yes, I'll be down in a moment.
Maestro!
Good morning, Josepha.
I see you two have met. You slept well, I hope.
I did indeed, and when I awoke, the voice of an angel came drifting in through my window. I thought myself in heaven.
Barbarina, feeding the birds again, fattening up those pigeons.
What for? Pigeon pie?
She storms out and Mozart and Josepha share a mocking smile. Barbarina smiles at the pigeons.
And how are you, Wolfgang?
It's difficult being on my own.
And how is Constanze?
The loss of little Johann must still be so raw for her. For you both.
Such a tiny little thing. Gone. Gone before he knew his name. At least we have Karl. Constanze's taking him with her to the spa.
Good. That'll revive her spirits.
I miss her.
Give her time.
Both need to grieve.
Yes. You're right.
Good. So, let's talk about how you're going to spend your time here. Peace and quiet, you said.
Yes, really, I need time to think. My new opera is still unfinished.
I'm sure you'll find inspiration here.
I'm sure I will.
But more importantly,
Will there be a part for me?
Of course, a big, beautiful Ari.
Wonderful. Mm.
This Baron Salico, you mentioned him in your letter. Didn't he pay to bring me to Prague?
He made a generous contribution.
So he must love my music. I must thank him. What's he like?
I hate him. But he'd make a diabolically wicked character for one of your operas.
Oh, really? Well, I see now.
Smoke, torture, terror. A diabolical baritone. Or a tortured tenor.
Yes? Or the baritone?
The tenor.
The tenor. That will work nicely.
And this is the last, my lord?
Yeah.
There is one more thing, sir.
Yes?
A letter from the Prince Archbishop of Salzburg. It appears he has reason to send an envoy to Prague. A gentleman named Henry Novi.
Oh?
He requests an audience.
Hmm. Yes. A most important emissary. Well, make the necessary arrangements.
Yes, my lord. Are there any other arrangements you require, my lord?
Hmm?
Another visit from Frau Vogt, perhaps?
Unfortunately, her husband appears to be keeping her on a very tight rein.
Perhaps your new mezzo-soprano, Susanna Luptak?
No. I have long-term plans for Fräulein Luptak. In answer to your question, the wardrobe mistress at the Neustadt's.
Fräulein Ribber.
Yes, she is pathetically receptive to a mere smile. Bring her here after tonight's performance.
Yes, my lord.
That will be all.
Block leaves Saloka reading a letter. That evening, the servants are dining below stairs at Saloka's residence.
Thanks.
Jacob, one of the servants, notices a chair at the table's empty. He looks around at his colleagues who sheepishly avert their gaze.
Has anyone seen Hannah? I think I'll go and find her.
The servants, dressed in dress coats and white wigs, watch him leave. Hannah lies in bed in her dimly lit room.
Hannah, what's wrong with you, my child? Hey. Why didn't you come down for supper? What's the matter?
I'm not very hungry.
He tenderly strokes the young maid's pale cheek.
Don't worry, Papa. I'll be all right in the morning.
Sleep tight. Night.
Hannah shuts her eyes and he leaves the room. With her father gone, she opens her eyes. At home, Herr Luptak pours wine for himself and his wife.
We are blessed. You'll never guess what news I have for you. Today, I received a message.
No, wait. Baron Saloka, tell me, what does it say?
He requested permission to call on Susanna.
I knew it. I saw the way he looked at her. So, Carabino isn't the only role he has in mind for Susanna?
Certainly not. And it appears the Baron is wasting no time.
They toast and the screen goes black. Mozart is sat composing in his room. Barbarina opens the curtains, flooding the space with light. Mozart gently moves his quill in time to the music in his head. Mozart writes on his manuscript. Barbarina blows out the candles. His eyelids heavy, Mozart becomes lost in his composition. Barbarina brings in a tray of tea and sets it down on the table. She watches Mozart for a moment, then picks up a cushion from the chair and takes it over to him. Mozart half stands and she slips it beneath him.
Sir, have some tea. It will refresh you.
The good Baron Saluka has requested the honor of your presence. A masquerade. There will be dancing. Should rest today.
I can't. Please, join me. I need to talk.
Uneasy, Barbarina sits.
I've made a significant change to my life.
Oh?
Yes. I was once the organist and composer at the court of the Prince Archbishop of Salzburg.
Very grand.
No, it wasn't. I was just one of his servants.
Really?
Yes. And that, well, that was just the beginning. As time went on, his treatment, his accusations against me, well, they became intolerable.
He plays.
I spent my time writing music he prescribed. Court music. The Verodimenti.
His fingers dance effortlessly over the keys.
So what did you do?
Barbarina smiles. Captivated, she stares at him.
I left him. At least now I'm free to write and create my own music.
Yes, sir, you are. If you have need of anything, just ring the bell and I will come.
You mentioned dancing. Come on, I need to practice.
No, sir.
Rubbish, come on.
Carefree, they spin around. Well-dressed guests dance at Baron Saloka's masquerade ball. Wearing half-masks over their eyes, the guests, dressed in embroidered dresses, knee-length coats and curly wigs, dance in the grand, opulent hall. Saloka kisses a woman's hand and whispers to her. The guests swap partners in the dance. Horse-drawn carriages pull into the courtyard. Wearing a glittering powder blue dress, matching eye mask and high white curled wig, Josefa glides in accompanied by her husband and Mozart. The guests step out of their way and bow and curtsy. The cellist. Mozart smiles mischievously at the guests as the small orchestra start up. Mozart elaborately bows. Saloka's nose is put out of joint by the audience's adoration for the composer. The dancing restarts. Mozart enjoys himself dancing with the other guests. Holding hands, the guests skip and hop as they snake around the room. Baron Saloka watches the composer with a look of disdain. Mozart leads his line of guests around the room. The guests join together and form a circle, much to the delight of those stood watching, including Susanna. The dancing guests move places in the circle. They hop from foot to foot and twirl. Mozart smiles to himself as the female guests step forward, hold hands and form a circle. They gracefully dance. The masked women twist and turn as they move around in a circle. They return to their partners. Mozart chuckles. Mozart walks into the center of the circle. Turning, he waves his arms around as if conducting. Arms outstretched, he spins. He throws his arms in the air in celebration, much to the crowd's delight. Sulking, Baron Saloka reluctantly applauds him. Guests begin the next dance. Glass of wine in hand, Mozart chats to one of the guests. Susanna watches him from across the room. Mozart clocks her watching. She strides over to him.
Herr Mozart.
My pleasure, Frau Rose.
Keeping eye contact with her, he kisses her hand.
But there is one problem. This is a masquerade. You're not meant to recognize me.
But you're everyone's favorite. Even my father's groom hums your tunes in the stable.
Well, it is known that horses do love my music.
Maestro, I didn't mean it.
Enough!
Madam, you are not a stranger.
Don't think so.
Soloka glares at Mozart.
I'm teasing. It's irresistible.
What I'm trying to say is, I believe your music is, well, a gift from God. It makes the world a more beautiful place.
Why, thank you. Such generous praise.
My apologies, sir. Fräulein Rose.
Herr, a cat. Forgive me.
Mozart watches her as she's led away to dance. Downcast, Susanna dances with the other guests. Mozart is captivated by her. Their eyes fleetingly meet across the crowded room. Soloka clocks their flirtatious glances. Soloka makes his way through the guests. Susanna and Mozart share flirtatious looks during the dance. Josepha is with Mozart.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed the good Baron's hospitality.
Thank you. Yes. Enchanted. As is your friend, Frau Rose.
I'd like to see what's underneath that mask.
You are a naughty man.
I see the Baron is buzzing around our little brother. He's coming our way. I must thank him. Introduce me.
Hand in hand with Susanna, Soloka greets his guests.
Baron Soloka, may I present Herr Mozart?
Good evening, Baron Soloka. I believe...
Soloka walks away, leaving Mozart taken aback. He glances at Susanna, and they share a smile. Thoughtful, Mozart's tinkering on the harpsichord in his room. Barbarina walks in. He glances at her and smiles.
So, how goes the onslaught this morning, Maestro?
Not well.
I can't concentrate since Josepha introduced me to our new carabiner.
Fräulein Susanna Luftak.
Yes. I'm incapable of doing anything until I hear her sing.
I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Josepha told me. Now then, Barbarina, tell me about this Baron Soloka.
But it's just gossip, sir.
I must know. Come on, sit here.
It's important.
On edge, she sits beside him.
Well, there are rumours. Ladies. Some married.
Surely society wives are allowed a little, Anyway, if a wife puts her mind to it, her husband won't suspect a thing.
Unless her throat is bruised.
Bruises? I see. No Casanova, then?
No.
Susanna sings in front of a smattering of people in the rehearsal room. Enchanted by her, Mozart watches. Soloka clocks Mozart's interest in Susanna. Susanna sings straight to Mozart. Frau Luptak walks in, and she and Mozart sit together. Maintaining his usual stern poise, Soloka fleetingly looks at Mozart. He raises his eyebrows as he watches Susanna singing for Mozart's pleasure.
Wonderful, Frau Susanna. Let's stop there.
Absolutely marvellous, my dear. Thank you so much. Congratulations.
Baron Salocca watches with a veiled look of disdain as Susanna makes her way towards Mozart and her mother. Feeling his eyes on her, Susanna looks uncomfortable. Mozart kisses her hand and smiles at her. Salocca watches Mozart, who's unable to take his eyes off the young soprano. Rattled, he walks out.
Perhaps you have not heard, Herr Mozart. His lordship had a narrow escape.
Really?
Yes. He was attacked by his own servant. Had to cut him down, I understand.
In self-defense.
Mercifully, the good Baron is an excellent swordsman, and he was unharmed.
Does this sort of thing always happen in Prague?
Perhaps this is not a topic for now, Herr Novak, Herr Mozart.
I do beg your pardon, ladies. I wasn't thinking. I must go and speak to the Baron before he leaves. Your servant.
Yes, indeed. Please give him our best wishes.
I hear you are writing a new opera, Herr Mozart.
Yes, it is beginning to take shape at last.
And that Signor Bondini has arranged for the premiere to take place here.
Such an honor for the city.
You must think us a provincial backwater compared to Vienna.
What do you mean? Prague contains all the people in the world that love my music.
Yes, you're quite the favourite. Does your new opera have a name?
No, but it will be based roughly on the story of Don Juan, always a popular subject.
Can I be of some help, perhaps? Sing some of the new work. I would be honoured to do so.
What a good idea. Well, that would be wonderful. As long as you would allow it, of course, Frau Liptak.
I don't see why not. I know Susanna would enjoy it. Would you not, my darling?
Yes, Mama. I would.
Well, yes. Please do come.
Herr Mozart.
At Saloka's residence.
You're very good health, Herr Novi.
And to you, Baron Salocca.
I'm here as envoy of the Prince Archbishop. But it is not just matters of church which concern his grace.
No.
He has heard news of Herr Mozart, that he's composing a new opera here in the city.
Yes, he makes no secret of it, declares it to be a major work.
Modesty was never one of his qualities.
No, aside from writing what is admittedly fine music, I can detect no beneficial qualities in him at all.
His grace would agree with you. To leave the Archbishop's employ in such fashion is insolent and ungrateful.
I could not agree more.
Mozart is out of control. His Grace believes he should be denounced as a heretic.
A heretic? Don't believe me, Herr Novi. The Prague influentials are so enthralled by him, they simply would not stand for it. Now, he is bereft of social graces, and on top of that, he flirts outrageous with an innocent young woman in whom I have a professional interest, a fine soprano at the Neustadts.
And him, a married man.
Oh. Yeah.
Henry Novi pulls a face and Salocca understands the unspoken suggestion.
If the little upstart were seen to be without honour, and I would be forced to withdraw my patronage. And Herr Novak would have to ban his operas at the Neustadts.
You would do that?
I would. It would be satisfying.
Oh, yes. Very satisfying.
So, how would you suggest we begin?
First step, renew my acquaintance with the loathsome little peacock.
Mozart is playing part of a newly written score. Barbarina storms in.
Fräulein Liptak is here, on her own. Are you expecting her? Am I too early? If you are not ready, I will go away again.
No, it's fine. I have a piece here ready and waiting. It's here somewhere. Thank you, Barbarina. Some refreshments, please? Don't mind Barbarina, she's just jealous.
I have that effect on all the ladies.
That's better. You have the most beautiful smile.
I hope you should like my voice, too.
Yes, of course. I'm sure I will. Now, let's exercise that voice.
La.
Barbarina listens at the door. She smirks. Mozart halts Susanna and picks up a crystal bell. Barbarina opens the door.
It works.
Annoyed, she shuts the door. Sulking, Barbarina marches back to the kitchen where the cook is preparing food.
Coming here without a mamma and Frau Josefa of it.
Taking a jug of juice and glasses with her, she glowers at the cook and storms out. In Mozart's room...
Was that wrong?
No, it's just, your papa has been murdered.
Your heart is full of anger. You have been seduced.
By Don Giovanni?
And Don Giovanni is a wicked man.
He must be punished.
Yes. But oh, shame on your heart. You enjoy the seduction.
He kisses her hand. She pulls it away as the door opens.
Thank you, Barbarina. We will help ourselves.
Barbarina glares disapprovingly at Mozart and Susanna.
I think I must teach you how to flirt.
I think you must not.
We can be helpful.
I've had a strict upbringing, Maestro. Dalliance, especially with a married man, is forbidden.
Naturally.
Will this hinder my progress in opera?
What? No. You must forgive me. I was teasing you.
Night. Mozart writes a letter.
Oh, Constanze. I miss you so much. Long to see your dear face, my darling wife. I hope your rested in the spa has revived your spirits. I'm busy rehearsing at the Notstitz for the final gala performance of Figaro. Just here and here, mezzo forte. And here, let it grow a little. You understand?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Good.
Josefa sings.
I'm being inspired by Prague and have discovered a beautiful young soprano, Fräulein Susanna Lubtak. I've decided to call my new opera Don Giovanni, and I believe it could be finished very soon if you were by my side. Please. Come and join me
in Prague. Your devoted and ever-loving husband, Wolfgang.
Susanna sings for Mozart.
May I make a suggestion? Perhaps there could be a question floated at the end. Like this.
Dove mi sto? Dove? Dove, dove mi sto?
Forgive me. I know I'm just a beginner.
Susanna looks worried. He looks at her. The two singers watch in awe as his fingers dance over the keys and he loses himself in the music. Servant Jacob lies in bed at Saloka's residence. His daughter Hannah steals money from a drawer beneath his bed. Eyes closed and lost in the moment, Mozart plays. Jacob wakes. Startled, Hannah drops the money. Shame-faced, she hangs her head. Susanna and Josefa watch Mozart playing lost in a world of his own. Jacob grabs his daughter and demands an explanation. Frightened, she shakes her head. He asks, who is it? She tells him, and he hugs his daughter tightly. Lost in the music, Mozart plays. Saloka marches down a hallway in his home. Jacob opens the door for him, then follows after and confronts him. Saloka strikes him.
His lordship had a narrow escape. He was attacked by his own servant. Had to cut him down, I understand.
Saloka jabs a sword through Jacob's chest.
But mercifully, the good Baron is an excellent swordsman. He was unharmed.
Anna discovers her father dying on the stairs. Josepha and Susanna applaud Mozart.
I don't normally get approval from my entire audience. Apologies, ladies. My head is full of dangerous thoughts. Don Giovanni is beginning to frighten me.
Block is with Saloka.
Marriage to Fräulein Luptak.
Is the proposition really so absurd, Block?
No, my lord.
She will remain in this house until she is breeding, and then she will go to one or other of the estates. In the interim, I will be requiring you to run a second house. So that is within your capabilities, is it not?
Yes, my lord.
Good. Have Fräulein Ribber visit Frau Josepha tomorrow.
Yes, my lord.
And afterwards, I have a mind to see if she enjoys playing an unusual game.
My lord?
When our wardrobe mistress has performed to my complete satisfaction, you will take my place.
Yes, my lord.
Herr Luptak is with his daughter at home. Angered, Susanna holds back tears.
It's your duty. One day you'll thank me for my foresight.
Will I? Then why am I so filled with dread and not joy?
Because you don't know how to direct your thoughts. No young woman does. That's why I, as your father, must direct you.
But I don't like him. There are such rumours. He's not a good person.
What rumours? I've heard no such thing.
I will not love him.
Susanna. You have been taught obedience, and you will do my bidding. He most ardently seeks your hand in marriage. The Baron will teach you how to love, how to please him.
Am I not to be pleased?
Well, of course, the Baron will wish to please you also, as any husband must do. So, it's been decided. Now, you dry your eyes, and I shall go and tell your mother the good news. I shall see you at dinner.
He walks out. Tears roll down Susanna's pale cheeks. She marches over to a harpsichord in the corner of the opulent room. Dejected, she lays her fingers on the keys. The screen fades to black. Susanna lies fast asleep. Lost in a dream world, she gently writhes on the bed and smiles to herself. Mozart lies sleeping beside her. She rolls over and opens her eyes and gazes adoringly at him. She gently strokes his face, waking him. She presses her lips to his and they kiss. They gaze lovingly into each other's eyes and Mozart kisses her. Lost in the moment, Susanna shuts her eyes and traces her finger over his cheek. In reality, it's just her pale pink silk cushion. She wakes. Disappointed, she sits up in bed. Thoughtful, she flashes the flicker of a smile as she remembers her dream and lies back down. Josepha watches Susanna singing for Mozart. Caught up in the character's emotion, she hangs her head. Barbarina walks in.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Fräulein Ribber is here for Josepha to fit your dress.
Really?
She nods.
Oh, well. I won't be long.
No, no. Don't worry. Fräulein Susanna and I will go through the second aria.
Thank you, Barbara.
Finally. I have you all to myself.
Looking deeply into her eyes, he kisses her hand. Susanna looks nervous as he strokes her cheek. They kiss. Distraught, Susanna pulls away.
Please, don't cry. I can't cope with tears. I have upset you and I apologize unreservedly. Look, I'm at arm's length. I will not kiss you again.
No. You misunderstand. I am not crying because you kissed me.
And why are you crying?
My father wants me to marry Baron Salica.
Baron Salica? It's ridiculous.
He said it is a perfect match. And that the union will further my career in opera. I am frightened.
Let me speak with your father.
Shocked, she turns to him.
You would do that for me?
Yes, of course.
Tearful, she stares intensely at him. Mozart is watching Susanna rehearsing on stage at the Notsteds Theatre. Henry Novi walks in. Stony-faced, he walks over to Mozart. Novi looms over him.
Henry Novi, at your service, Herr Mozart. We have met, briefly, in Salzburg.
So, let's go again.
The Marriage of Figaro. What a premiere we had in Vienna.
Thank you.
Now you're composing a new opera?
Yes, Don Giovanni.
Ah, how exciting. I hear you're trying out this new work at Frau Josepha's house.
Yes, Frau Josepha and Fräulein Lübtag have been kind enough to assist.
I wonder, would you allow me to watch you rehearse?
A little confused, Mozart turns to him.
Yes, sir, if Frau Josepha will permit it.
Mozart turns his attention back to Susanna. Frau Ribber is ironing in the theatre's costume department. Baron Soloka walks in carrying a single red rose.
Your Lordship? I did not think...
I saw a flower seller outside. I saw this and... I thought of you. Please.
Uneasy, she reluctantly takes it from him. Susanna's mother and father smile proudly as they watch their daughter rehearsing.
Just a short break, please.
Mozart walks over to Johann, the conductor.
Wonderful rehearsal.
Hey, Mozart.
I'd like you to hear a new piece. It's an aria from my new opera, accompanied by your excellent orchestra.
Mozart, but I'm not sure I should.
Yes, yes, you should. I have copies of the music right here.
Reticent, Johann takes the score from him.
Very well, Herr Mozart.
Thank you,
Herr
Mozart.
In the costume department, Frau Ribber trembles fearfully and backs away as Soloka runs his finger over her lip. With a menacing look, he kisses her. In the theatre, Mozart conducts the orchestra as Josepha sings. Sat with her parents, Susanna watches Mozart. In the costume department, Soloka kisses Frau Ribber. She tenses as he pulls away and looks at a large bruise on her neck.
Oh. Did I do this to you?
Yes.
You forgive me.
He kisses the fearful costume mistress. Soloka hoiks up her dress. In the theatre. Mozart smiles at the orchestra. Susanna and her parents applaud. Mozart blows Josefa a kiss and she beams. Mozart glances at Susanna. The orchestra applaud.
Herr Mozart, we have been truly privileged today.
Thank you, Johann. It means a great deal to me. May I ask a favour of you?
Herr Mozart?
Please. Wolfgang.
Wolfgang, if I am able to oblige in any way, you only have to ask.
I need to try and have an audience with Herr Lobtak. Have you heard of his daughter's betrothal?
To the good Baron, yes, of course. It's the talk of the city. Naturally, we are very happy for them both.
And you are aware of his reputation?
Wolfgang, he is our principal patron.
I know that. But for Herr Lobtak to marry his daughter off to such a man, well, I want to try and persuade him against the match.
But Herr Lobtak is thrilled.
I have to try.
Very well. But be careful.
Johann collects his coat and manuscript, nods courteously and leaves. At Josefa's residence, Mozart plays as Henry Novi watches Susanna sing. Novi glances at Mozart and applauds.
Bravo, that was wonderful.
I think we all deserve to take a break. Don't you, Maestro?
Of course. You must all forgive me. I am a slave driver.
Susanna and I are enjoying ourselves, aren't we?
Susanna?
Oh, yes.
I had no idea opera was such hard work. I'll be more appreciative in future.
It is hard work, yes. But it is a privilege. To sing Herr Mozart's music.
Yes, I'm beginning to understand.
You must all forgive me. I think I need a breath of fresh air.
He winks at Susanna. Tense, she looks away. Mozart walks out. Susanna looks at Josefa.
Please excuse me.
With a knowing smile, Henry Novi ponders, then looks at Josefa. Susanna and Mozart walk arm in arm in the gardens. Susanna gazes adoringly at him.
I need more time with you. Alone.
How can we? When?
Pay me a visit on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. I will arrange everything.
You sure?
But try not to bring him with you.
To the casual observer, they were merely taking a moment's respite from the intensity of the music. But it was clear to me that, well, there was more to it.
As I suspected.
I've arranged for my man to follow the peacock wherever he goes.
Good. Bloch, could you arrange for one of our most reliable men to follow Fräulein Lobtak also?
My lord.
Good. Oh, and the wardrobe mistress. Go and see her. Let her know when she is to pay Fräulein Lobtak a visit.
Yes, my lord.
The woman works at the Nostitz, and she is also under my employ.
Excellent. She will have the necessary excuses to gain entrance to Fräulein Susanna's bedchamber.
Indeed.
Off you go.
A little uneasy, Bloch leaves Soloka and Henry Novi alone.
Mozart will make a mistake, go too far.
Yes.
He must be exposed, ruined.
We still have to find tangible proof.
We will get it.
Please, Herr Birch, be seated.
Excuse me, Herr Luptek. I'll wait outside. Maestro Mozart has requested a word with you in private.
Right, yes, of course.
Herr Luptek, I admire your daughter's voice. She has a great future as a singer ahead of her. I've already written a part for her in my new opera.
Oh, we're grateful that her talent has been even the slightest inspiration to you.
Oh, it has. And for that reason, I ask you to forgive me. Herr Luptek, my intentions are honorable, but I fear I'm about to intrude in your private affairs.
My private affairs?
I'm concerned for Frau and Susanna.
Concerned? In what way?
About her proposed betrothal to Baron Salico. Are you aware of his...
I'm aware, sir, that this is none of your business.
His reputation as a womanizer.
You dare to question my choice of husband for my daughter? Baron Salico comes from one of Prague's oldest and most noble families.
I do not question the Salico pedigree, merely the character of the current Baron.
Sir, I truly believe that I can be of greater assistance in furthering your daughter's career than such a man.
How can you compare your influence to that of the Baron? You are an impecunious composer. The Baron is a respected patron of the opera and has the means necessary to promote my daughter's career. I thank you to take your leave.
Sir, I do not wish to cause you any anger.
Show him out.
Only to warn you.
Now, please, Herr Mozart.
Shamefaced, Mozart leaves. Herr Luptek holds his anger at bay. Mozart and Johann take a horse-drawn carriage.
At least you tried, Maestro.
Please, don't tell anyone I said this. But I fear Salocca is untouchable. He thinks himself above the law.
Thank you, Johann. You certainly know how to raise a fellow's spirits.
An aerial view of the city at sunset. The screen slowly fades to black. Morning. A horse-drawn carriage laden with luggage waits outside the Luptek residence.
Should I bring the sapphires? We do need to make an impression.
No. There's no need to outdo our host, is there?
Yes, I've only packed 5 hats and 3 walking dresses. And Mama, you will be fine.
We're going away for 2 days. 2 days, not 2 weeks. Susanna, remember, you're not to receive any visitors while we're away, yes?
I've already said, Papa. I understand.
No dallying this evening.
No dallying.
Right, well.
Now then.
Bye, my darling.
There is no need to worry.
She smiles sweetly at him.
No need to worry.
She doesn't normally say that, does she?
Smiling, Susanna waves them off. Her smile slips away as the carriage travels out of sight. Susanna walks back into her house and her servant shuts the door. Mozart arrives at Susanna's house.
Morning.
Good morning, sir. I'm sorry, but...
That's all right, Hans. Please show Herr Mozart in.
Herr and Frau Luptek, they're not here.
And neither is Herr Mozart.
The maid smiles and Mozart walks in, much to the servant's annoyance.
Fräulein Luptek, Herr Mozart is not here.
Thank you, Hans.
May I speak to you, Fräulein Luptek?
Of course. Please, take a seat, Maestro.
Forgive me, Fräulein, but the master, he instructed me that you were not to receive anyone.
He instructed me too, and I told him I understood. I did not agree to obey.
But Herr Mozart...
Herr Mozart is not anyone.
Fräulein Luptek.
Stop worrying, Hans.
Hans leaves them alone.
Is everything all right with your servant?
Everything is perfect, now that you are here.
My dear Susanna, I'm sorry that I have failed you miserably. He became very angry when I mentioned Salka's reputation. He called me an impecunious composer.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry. I want so much to help you.
Well, thank you for trying.
There must be something I can do.
Oh, there is.
The maid walks in.
Fräulein Ribber is here. She's anxious to fit your costume. Send her to my dressing room.
Is it usual for your wardrobe mistress to come to the house?
Not really. But then nothing seems very usual at the moment. I'll be as quick as I can.
She hurries to the door. Susanna looks back at Mozart and they share a smile before she leaves. At a loss, Mozart sits down at a harpsichord by the window. Frau Ribber hangs up the costumes in Susanna's dressing room. Wistful, she holds one of the dresses and looks at her reflection in the mirror. Downstairs, Mozart plays as Frau Ribber sneaks out of the dressing room. She cautiously peers around the door, then makes her way into Susanna's bedroom. Downstairs, Mozart plays. Susanna finds Frau Ribber in her bedroom.
Frau Ribber?
I'm sorry, I was listening. You startled me.
And you me.
It's the aria from her Mozart's new opera, is it not? The one Frau Josefa sang at the Nostitz.
Yes. Herr Mozart very kindly gave me a copy of the score. And one of my servants is learning the piece so that I can sing the aria for pleasure.
Unusual to have such a talented servant.
Yes.
Susanna's maid is putting the finishing touches to a cake and flowers.
Who is all this for?
Fräulein Susanna and Herr Mozart.
But they are due at rehearsal at 3 o'clock.
For after the rehearsal. This is her one moment of happiness.
Are you mad? If Zoloka ever found out...
But he won't.
I wouldn't be so sure. You'd better tell the genius to cut that record.
Eyes closed, Mozart plays with passion. A horse-drawn carriage travels along a cobbled road. On board, Mozart and Susanna sit cuddled up together. Two men hide beneath the bridge, watching for the carriage. Smiling contentedly, Susanna rests her head against Mozart's shoulder. The two men spy on them from beneath the bridge. The two men follow them.
Hans, I'll get out here!
No, don't go. Not yet.
I must...
But tonight, you'll come back to me tonight.
Yes.
Grinning, Mozart gets out. The carriage travels onward. Mozart puts on his black tricorn hat and strolls up the cobbled street. The men follow him. Mozart waves his arms around as if conducting an orchestra. Keeping at a safe distance, the men scamper after him. At the theatre...
Hey, Johann. Please forgive me, but I have another favour to ask.
Go on.
This might sound melodramatic, but I suspect that I'm being watched. Everywhere I go, either Herr Novi or his servant is two steps behind me.
I have seen Herr Novi in the company of the Baron, so I think I can guess what this is about.
Can?
Of course. My dear fellow, Fräulein Susanna. You're playing a dangerous game here, Maestro. I hope you know what you're doing.
Me too. And that's why I need your help. Come.
So now they've travelled to the theatre together, alone.
Such brazen deceit.
A pity your wardrobe mistress could not have got word to my man sooner.
A pity your man could not spot Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart arriving at the Lumptak's house in the first place.
Josepha sings at the theatre. Stood with the rest of the cast, Mozart watches her from the wings. In costume, Susanna walks up behind him.
I am so looking forward to our evening together.
Me too. Be gentle with me.
He smiles and Susanna slips away. Mozart turns his attention back to Josefa at Soloka's.
Don't worry. We'll get proof tonight.
Night. A light dusting of snow falls. A man in a tricorn hat slips out of the theatre's stage door, his face unseen.
Good night, Herr Mozart.
Good night.
Carrying a lantern and keeping his head down, he hurries off down a cobbled street. A man slips out of the stage door and follows after him. Stood at stage door, Henry Novi sneers as he watches his spy disappear after Mozart. He pulls his cloak around his shoulders and walks away. Mozart and Susanna are cuddled up together in the back of a horse-drawn carriage. They share a sweet smile. Lantern in hand, the man in the tricorn hat walks at a lick through the city, closely followed by Novi's spy. The carriage carrying Mozart and Susanna travels through the city. The man in the tricorn hat glances over his shoulder, and Novi's spy hides out of sight. The man in the tricorn hat looks round. It's Johann. He lets himself into his house. Dejected, the spy walks away. The city's roofs and spires are covered in a light dusting of snow. Lying naked in each other's arms, Susanna and Mozart share a passionate kiss. Lips locked, they roll around under the covers. Happy, they smile and laugh with each other. The screen fades to black. Morning. Sunlight streams into the bedroom where Mozart and Susanna lie fast asleep. The knocking fails to rouse them.
Fräulein Susanna! That woman Ribber's here! Quickly!
5 minutes, Maria, then show her to my dressing room. Get up.
Bleary-eyed, Mozart gets up out of bed.
Don't make a sound!
I know. I'll be as quiet as a mouse. And when the dressing room door shuts, I will tiptoe down the stairs and scurry away. Is this how it's always going to be for us?
He gazes adoringly at her. Uncomfortable, Susanna fleetingly averts her gaze. Her cheerful demeanour changes.
I thought you understood.
Confused, he stares at her.
Making love to you was wonderful. Happiness I will always remember, but...
What are you saying?
I have to be a dutiful daughter. And an obedient wife. And you, a good husband and a father.
Please, Fräulein, you must hurry.
Despondent, Mozart stares at the floor. Susanna shuts the door on him. Novi pays Soloka a visit.
Mozart is a cunning weasel.
Out. Both of you.
His servants hurry out.
Yes.
Our men wasted a good hour chasing some imposter down every damn street of Prague.
Why am I not in the least bit surprised?
There's little doubt that they are, well, lovers. But there's no proof.
But there is no doubt.
A light dusting of snow falls as people walk out of the Notstead's Theatre. A man sticks up a notice for The Marriage of Figaro, final performance, conducted by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. The audience are gathered in the theatre for the final performance.
Maestro, what is it?
Susanna, I'm not sure I can do this.
Wolfgang, my dear friend, everyone is here to see you.
I can't.
Yes, you can. Do it for her. The orchestra is ready and waiting. Come.
Tense, he sighs. The orchestra get to their feet as Mozart walks into the auditorium and takes his position in the pit. Composed, Mozart bows. He signals to the orchestra to sit. Focused, he conducts. Backstage, new scenery is moved into position. Members of the audience laugh. Haughty Baron Soloka watches in the box with Henry Novi in block. Stagehands turn large wooden wheels that raise up the scenery. Mozart gently waves his hands, conducting the orchestra. On stage, Giuseppe listens to Susanna singing. Herr Luptak and his wife watch from the audience, captivated by their daughter's performance. Mozart gazes adoringly at Susanna as he conducts. On edge, Johann watches from the side of the stage. Candles on the music stands illuminate the orchestra's sheet music. Mozart is unable to take his eyes off Susanna as she sings to Giuseppe. Soloka leans towards Novi.
What do you make of my new Cherubino? Quite the find, isn't she? Certainly head.
She's on sparkling form.
Yes.
Pity she isn't as pure as her voice.
She glances at Mozart and he smiles. Riled, Soloka leaves his box. Bloch obediently follows after his master. Susanna looks at Mozart and he smiles warmly at her. Frau Luptak holds back tears. Backstage.
Make some excuse to get rid of Herr Novi. I have my coach brought round to the stage door. I have some unfinished business to attend to.
Bloch hurries off. Susanna is in her dressing room.
Come in, Mama.
Caught off guard, she gets to her feet.
Well, haven't you blossomed? I'm so very proud of you.
Of me, my lord, or my voice?
Come, I'm to escort you home in my carriage.
Oh, I thought Mama and Papa...
Oh, no, it's all been arranged. The carriage awaits at the stage door. Please, come.
He smiles. Uneasy, she obliges him. Soloka marches her through the backstage area of the theatre towards the stage door. Johann looks concerned as he spots them hurrying past. Johann quickly makes his way into the auditorium.
Wolfgang, excuse me. It seems Baron Soloka is escorting Fair Cherubino home tonight.
Are you sure? But her parents are still here.
I just saw them leave in the direction of the stage door.
He goes to leave.
Leave it, Wolfgang. If I looked like a proof of them being alone together, there's nothing you can do.
An aerial view of the city. Susanna is in a carriage with Soloka.
Where are we going?
We're going to my residence.
And my father agreed to this?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Susanna looks frightened as the carriage pulls up outside Sir Loca's residence. A footman opens the carriage door and Sir Loca steps out. He holds out his hand and Susanna takes it. He helps the frightened soprano down from the carriage and they head inside.
Come. Sit here.
Tense, she obliges him. Sir Loca pulls himself a drink.
We have not had the opportunity to speak privately together before now.
No, my lord. There has been little time.
Yes. It appears your every waking hour is swallowed up by your opera duties.
We are required to rehearse almost daily.
Oh, almost daily, is that so? Come. Drink your wine.
I would rather not.
A tear rolls down her cheek.
Well, I would rather you did. You see, although we are not yet formally betrothed, I am intent on you learning a lesson tonight. When I say drink, you drink.
He forces her.
And when I say stop, then you stop.
She holds her hand to her mouth. Frightened, she gets up.
I believe I told you to sit.
Her dress wet with wine, she timidly turns to him.
So sit!
Holding back tears, she sits. Sir Loca walks over to her.
Now, it has come to my attention that you and Mozart are lovers. Is it true? Susanna, my dear, answer the question. You have not learned.
No,
your lesson, have you? When I ask you a question, I expect a reply the moment I ask it, and not at your pleasure.
With his hands around her throat, he pins her down. She tries to fight him off.
You have his stitch upon you. Death! Death! You humiliate me! You disgrace me!
He lifts up her dress and thrusts against her.
Death! Your father! Lift up, little Burgess! You are. I you when you find out
the truth! Sir Loca tightens his grip around her throat as he climaxes. Sir Loca stares at Susanna, who lies unconscious. Susanna lies limp beneath him. Sir Loca turns her head. He lets go of it, and it lolls lifelessly.
Oh my God.
Where is my daughter? She should not be here with you alone. I did not give permission.
Luptak's attention is drawn to his daughter, lying motionless. He kneels beside her.
It was an accident. I did not intend it. I lost control.
Luptak holds her and sobs. Grey clouds hang in the sky. Mozart stands staring mournfully out of his window. Barbarina walks in, carrying a tray with a vase of red roses, a carafe of water and a glass. She places everything onto a table. Barbarina stares sorrowfully at Mozart, who gazes out of the window, lost in thought. Barbarina leaves. The noise of the door breaks Mozart from his thoughts. Pale and drawn, he sits and stares mournfully at the red roses on the table.
Herr Mozart, Herr Lobtak is here to see you.
Herr Lobtak,
Mozart.
I'm here to beg for your forgiveness. But it is I who should beg for your forgiveness.
No. No. She's dead. It's my fault. I was blind. You warned me about that monster, and I ignored you.
I was blinded too. I was intoxicated by her beauty and talent.
You made her happy. Thank you for that. Good day to you.
What if Saloka
claims it was an accident? He won't get away with it. I'll see him hang.
Devastated, Mozart sits. His eyes filled with tears, he looks at the red roses. His lip quivers and he starts to cry. The screen fades to black. Slumped over his desk, Mozart writes by candlelight. Barely awake, he holds his quill and draws musical notes. His eyelids become heavy and close, and he falls asleep on the manuscript. He loosens his grip on the quill and it rests against his hand. The screen fades to black. Snow falls as a horse-drawn carriage pulls up outside Josepha's residence. Mozart opens the front door. Eager, he makes his way to the carriage. He beams as his son steps out and runs to him. Mozart lifts up his son and hugs him tightly. Wearing a scarlet dress, Constanze gets out of the carriage and hurries over to them. Mozart kisses her. Snow swirls around them as they kiss. Constanze looks at Mozart and gently strokes his hair. She holds him close.
I'll never leave you again.
His eyes full of pain, Mozart holds back tears as they embrace. Herr Lupczak stares out of his window, reminiscing.
The role of Cherubino.
Baron Saluka chose it himself.
And why? Because you, my darling, sang like a nightingale.
Herr Lobtak, I have a young woman here. She's called Hannah, a servant of Saluka. She has something vital to tell you.
Vital? Well, show her in.
Hannah walks in. Her skin is pale and her hair unkempt.
Please, take a seat, Hannah. Hans, bring a dish of tea and some of Maria's biscuits. Maria bakes lovely biscuits.
Herr Lupczak smiles at the anxious young maid.
Begging your pardon, sir. I'm sorry to bother you at this time, sir. But it's to do with Baron Saluka. I was in his service, sir. I'm carrying his child. He is the devil, sir. He murdered my father in cold blood. I saw it.
Herr Lupczak ponders. Snow falls on a gloomy day as a group of priests lead a funeral procession through a cemetery. Walking slowly behind the priests, men dressed in black wearing matching tricorn hats carry a coffin on their shoulders. Wearing all black, Mozart walks in the procession alongside Josefa. The coffin is slowly lowered to the ground. Surrounded by mourners, Herr Luptak stands with his wife at the graveside. Grieving, they hold back their tears as they stare at their daughter's coffin. A light flutter of snow swirls through the air, and the mourners stare solemnly at the grave. Mozart's attention is drawn away. Distracted, he stares intensely at something and slowly makes his way past the mourners. Intrigued, Constanze fleetingly follows his gaze, then turns her attention back to the grave. Mozart stares ominously at the imposing stone statue of a Commander Touré. Wearing a look of foreboding, he stands, transfixed by the statue, towering over a grave. The Commander Touré wears a helmet shielding his identity. Soloka sits in a jail cell. A hunched jailer peers into his cell. In the cemetery, Mozart glares at the statue. Hanna births a child which is stillborn. The dead infant's face is covered. Coins fall on a stone floor. Mozart passionately plays the harpsichord. An audience at the Notstedts Theatre. Mozart conducts. At the cemetery, he glowers at the statue. Images run through Mozart's mind. Focused, Mozart conducts Don Giovanni. The statue-like character of the Commander Touré breaks through a wall. Stagehands turn huge wooden wheels moving the set. Baron Soloka has a noose placed around his neck, and it's tightened. He hangs. The opera Mozart is conducting replicates Soloka's death. Soloka hangs from the noose. A poster for Don Giovanni, an Italian opera in two acts, hangs outside the theatre. Inside, a woman rehearses. Disinterested, Mozart broods.
Maestro.
Sullen, Mozart rests his chin on his hands. Backstage.
But Frau Mozart, we are less than 24 hours before the first performance.
I know.
We cannot postpone the opening again.
Don't worry, I promise we'll open tomorrow. He can do it. Trust me.
Hunched over a manuscript, Mozart writes musical notes. Constanze takes a page from the exhausted composer. She casts her eye over it before passing it along a row of men, busily working on copying out the score for different parts in the orchestra. Constanze stays at her husband's side as he writes. Wrung out, he takes a swig of red wine and sighs. Determined, he continues to write. Working at a lick, the writers copy out the music. Pieces of the score are passed along the line of writers. Images of the writers hard at work are interspersed with members of the orchestra playing the piece. Constanze takes a page of the manuscript from Mozart just before he falls asleep on the desk. She casts her eye over his work and smiles.
Gentlemen, the overture. Careful, the ink's still wet.
Johann hands out the score.
Take a look.
An excited crowd of people are arriving at the Notstedts Theatre for the first night of Don Giovanni.
We're going straight into it. No rehearsal. Any questions? You can do it. Bohemia's finest.
The audience get to their feet as Mozart makes his entrance and weaves his way through the orchestra pit to take up his position. Dressed in a long gold coat and white wig, He looks at the audience and takes a bow. He signals to the orchestra and they sit. Mozart takes a moment to collect himself. His hands tremble. He shuts his eyes and conducts. Constanze watches her husband and flashes the flicker of a smile. Sad in the audience, a tearful Frau Lupdak holds her husband's hand. Focused, Mozart glances at the members of the orchestra. Johann watches the talented composer intensely as he gently waves his hand, conducting the orchestra. Dressed in their finery, Prague's gentry watch, transfixed by the great composer. Herr Lupdak turns to Johann.
I thought there was no overture. There wasn't.
Mozart conducts with passion and gusto. Green fades to black. The theatre's curtain raises on Don Giovanni, sat relaxing on stage. Don Giovanni picks up a book and glances through it. Later on in the performance, Josefa sings as Donna Elvira. Husband smiles proudly. Mozart and Josefa share a smile. Don Giovanni follows Leporello onto the stage, persuades him to disguise himself as him. They swap cloaks and hats. Johann smiles as he recalls disguising himself as Mozart so the composer could meet with Susanna. Mozart smiles as he recalls that night. The screen fades to black. Stagehands watch from the balcony. Frau Lupdak wipes away tears. Wearing a black headdress, the character of Donna Anna sings. Pained, Mozart watches her. Mozart's eyes glaze with tears. Struggling to hold back tears, he watches the singer intensely as he conducts. His lip quivers. Tears fall from his eyes and roll down his pale cheeks. The singer looks at Mozart. His eyes are closed and tears stream down his face. He opens his eyes and collects himself and looks back at her. Mozart sees Susanna singing to him. The screen fades to black, and the end credits roll.